This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. When Toys R Us announced its closure in 2017, the other big box retailers did not reap all the rewards. Independent toy stores are the ones that truly stepped in to fill a void for children and their parents. Toy sales grew 3% in the first half of 2017. While e-commerce sites like Amazon are undercutting the sales of big box retailers, small toy businesses are faring well. That has to do with what one analyst calls independent toy stores' level of competition on quality rather than on price. Earlier, we were joined on Cincinnati Edition to discuss the toy market and how independent toy stores compete in a pre-recorded interview by IBIS World Production Manager Jonathan DiCarlo and longtime Cincinnati toy store King Arthur's Court toys buyer Rob Kearney. IBIS World Production Manager Jonathan DiCarlo, he's on the phone with us. Jonathan, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And in the studio with me is longtime Cincinnati toy store King Arthur's Court toy buyer and assistant manager Rob Kearney. Rob, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I do want to start with Toys R Us and the impact based on that information that I just read to our audience. And I do want to start with you, Jonathan. What did that mean to the toy industry overall with the shuttering of Toys R Us?
Well, we certainly saw the toy industry shutter a bit. We saw revenue decline the year that it closed. But since then, it actually has rebounded, right? So we're actually seeing a bit of growth from it's driven mostly by smaller operators, right? And we'll get into that in a bit. But because of growth within the smaller players, more locally focused, more regionally focused, the industry has since resumed growth.
Okay, so Jonathan, what is causing that, I suppose? Is it people reacclimating themselves with their community outlets? Are they searching to find places to buy the toys that they would have otherwise purchased at Toys R Us?
Right. So on face value, you certainly see competition, right? Whether it's external competition, like you said earlier, with e-commerce kind of stealing market share from other brick and mortars, right? And even like substitute products. You have children kind of gravitating more towards electronics, games on phones and tablets, and then also internally from big box retailers that compete on price, right? But what's happened is that these smaller operators are actually establishing a connection to the consumer, right? So they're basically almost giving like value-added services that kind of bring customers and retain customers to the store.
Okay, and we are joined, of course, in the studio by King Arthur's Court toy buyer and assistant manager, Rob Kearney. Is that your strategy?
Oh, absolutely. We try to be a place where a family can come and hang out. It's not just a place to come and buy toys. We're not trying to beat Target or Amazon at their own game. We try to have a place where kids can get the hands-on experience with the toys. We have a bunch of samples. We have downstairs in our basement what used to be a clearance center, or the land of forgotten toys, which I used to jokingly call it. We totally remodeled it, and it's a playroom now. And it has stuff that you can climb on, little rope bridges that we sell as well. But it's someplace that kids can just go hang out.
Yeah, so there's a different incentive to come visit your store.
Right, I mean,
really,
right.
You can come and play.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and what has the result been since making that decision?
We've had a lot of people coming to hang out and not just buy toys and, you know, like not just they're doing shopping, but families come. People come and meet at our store, and there it's kind of a destination.
Are you seeing that it's building a connection between the consumer and your business in a way that before you really couldn't, because it's a place where people come and shop, but now they're getting to spend time in there in a different way?
Correct. Yeah. And when that's happening, we're able to walk around, mingle among the customers. And that's something that you don't get at a big box store. We can talk to people. I can walk you around the store for 15 minutes and help you pick out that really awesome gift for your 7-year-old that you've, or, you know, or like for a nephew or somebody that you don't really know what to get.
Jonathan DiCarlo joins us on the phone. He is with IBIS World Production. He's a manager there. And Jonathan, what you just heard Rob describe, the creation of this playground within the toy store, are you seeing similar endeavors where stores are trying to create those experiences outside of just the toy buying experience?
Certainly, right. So that's been a primary strategy, retailers across various industries. what they're offering more than any kind of just given service that, or even a product that can be purchased online, they're offering an experience, right? So that's what they're doing. They're driving foot traffic by offering an experience.
I guess I want to ask you, Rob, also, since you are part of a smaller toy operation than Toys R Us, when that news came out that Toys R Us was going away, and now it's passed, they're gone from this market, certainly, though we hear little rumblings that maybe they're coming back in some fashion, what did that mean to your organization? Was it sort of welcome news in a way, or was it a warning cloud?
Well, I think it was welcome news. We really didn't compete with them. They didn't really compete with us. We had different lines, and we were able to expand into stuff that we normally wouldn't have carried because a Toys R Us had it. But we were able to expand into different things. But what it also meant is that, you know, people were coming into our store that were normally like, I'm just going to go to Toys R Us, or I'm going to get something on Amazon.
So have sales increased since you've put the – I mean, I don't expect you to open your financial books or to be fully transparent about that question. But, I mean, are you seeing that you're moving
more
product?
We're definitely a lot busier, yes. Yeah. And it's – part of it is probably Toys R Us, and I think a bigger part of it is just that the investment that we've made into our store to make it a place that's fun to hang out.
So let me ask you this then, because you've got this – I guess, subterranean playground now that people
it's called
can
the dungeon.
Come check out
yes.
the dungeon, the toy dungeon. And so you've got kids who will maybe come and play on what you have, climbing walls or zip lines, and then little sitting areas for the parents and a variety of other atmospheric additions, popcorn, coffee, and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. What do you do to draw in the older kids down the line? Is that something that's important to you, to keep these kids for life as your customers when they transition from one type of toy to another, but they don't necessarily play at the playground anymore?
Absolutely, yeah. So that's one of our things too. We're expanding into even adult stuff. Like we're trying to get like gifts that you would get, not something that you necessarily need, but something that would be fun to have. So we're getting like board games and stuff like that for the older kids, and little kitschy things that for the adults.
Well, let me ask you, Jonathan, who joins us on the phone from Ibis World Production. Is that a challenge for toy stores? Do they have to get even more niche in order to compete as independent retailers? Do they have to decide whether they are an organization that caters to preschool to grade school and then middle school, high school? Or are they able to compete at all age levels?
Well, what we've noticed is we've actually noticed that these small toy stores are actually catering to parents in a way. So they're able to kind of capitalize on consumer nostalgia, right? So when they were kids, they went to these stores and, you know, they've been in the neighborhood for, you know, X number of years. They want to take their children and kind of give them that experience, right? So, you know, being a local fixture within the community, they're able to kind of capitalize on this generational trend that we see.
So, Jonathan, let me ask you, as we start to wrap this up, I know we're painting a rosy picture, and that's good for the smaller shops and how they're managing to survive and or thrive. But what are some of the disadvantages or the challenges that some of these smaller indie stores might face when compared to larger rivals, even in the wake of Toys R Us' departure from the market?
Certainly there's a convenience factor, right? So to buy a toy, they would have to go to the store to buy it, right? With Amazon, it's a click of a button. It'll be there in 1 to 3 days. Also, just in terms of price, right? So, you know, given certain buying powers from big box stores, even Amazon, they're able to kind of undercut smaller operators in terms of price.
And Rob, that's what you're up against. You're up against the click, right? The convenience.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we've kind of adjusted for the convenience by making an experience. And I think we also are adjusting for the bulk buying that, you know, an Amazon or a Target can do. And then we're adjusting for that by we're a lot more nimble with what we can buy. Like we can try something out, and if it doesn't work, we can try something else.
Do you still work to stay on top of the trends? Like what's going to be coming up or the hot toy?
Yeah.
How are you able to do that?
We go to Toy Fair. We read the publications and stuff, and you know, a lot of it is just, you know, watch what's on Netflix. What are kids watching? A big hit that has happened in our or a big hit that has happened is like the Who Was books, and I ended up getting a bunch of those because I saw it on Netflix, and it turned into a big seller in the store. And
those are books that explore historic figures?
Yes, and they're great for, you know, middle grade readers.
And let's wrap up with this. Ibis World Production Manager Jonathan DiCarlo, is that important still to be competitive, that you still have to go after what's hot in the market?
Of course, yeah. There's always research that has to be done. You want to make sure that you're staying on top of constantly changing consumer trends, right? Obviously, children's interests will always change, even more so than adult consumers, so it's always important to kind of do your due diligence and make sure you're kind of able to capitalize on trends.
Ibis World Production Manager Jonathan DiCarlo and King Arthur's Court Toy Buyer and Assistant Manager Rob Kearney. Thanks to both of you for joining us today. Appreciate the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
A local church reverend came out as gay on national television 5 years ago. Over the weekend, he returned to that same show for a Where Are They Now segment. He joins us in the studio next. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.